take your Bible, if you would, make your way back to the book of Hosea. Make your way, if you would, please, back to the 10th chapter. While you're doing that, or after you have done that, I trust that you have an ink pen and something to write on this evening. If you don't have a piece of paper or on your bulletin, feel free to grab an offering envelope that's in front of you there. Write on that, put a 20 in the one behind it to pay for that one. That'll help us. But I want you to be able to write down some thoughts tonight that, Lord willing, you'll be able to use personally as you spend time with the Lord and as you prepare your heart for revival. Okay, making our way back into Hosea, we began this today a message entitled Preparing for Revival. Now, I do not want revival to pass you by. I do not want you to miss out on what God has for us. I don't want us to miss it corporately. I don't want us to miss it individually. Think back in your life, and I'm wondering, could anybody raise their hand to testify that God has used the time or the season or the setting aside of revival before in a wonderful way in your life, and you remember that? Yeah, right. And when God does that work, it's not something that you forget. Most of God's people have attended a revival. I'm just not sure how many have been revived. The last thing I want to happen is for us to have just a revival meeting. I want for us to have a moving of the Spirit of God in our life. And I'm trying to teach you that that cannot bear the responsibility of the evangelist only. You and I have to do our part. We have to come ready for God to do a work in our hearts. I think that when you study the nation of Israel, where revival is really mentioned in their backslidden condition, and you find in Psalms and in Hosea how the work is revived and they are revived, that you will find that this is a moving that has to be based upon a foundation. And they had a responsibility in this as well. And the biblical principle, before they could ever sow to themselves in righteousness and reap accordingly, was that they had to break up that fallow ground. And I believe as we celebrate revival in the church age today, and as we set aside times to seek the Lord, then we too, before we're able to sow in righteousness and know that, of course, righteousness is within us, but before we're able to be revived in that, we have to deal with our fallow ground. By way of review, do you remember that fallow ground is unique in the fact that it has once been tilled or prepared and then since gotten hard or dried up or become where it was not, it needed to be reworked again. And that principle is important because revival is for God's people. Now, hear me very carefully. In order to be revived, you must be alive. So spiritually, how many got that statement? You know what I'm talking about. I was talking about this with my brother-in-law today. In order to be revived, I first have to be alive. If I'm going to be revived spiritually and renewed spiritually, that it's not talking about a birth. Then I first have to be birthed spiritually. So I have to be alive spiritually so that I can be renewed spiritually on a day-by-day focus. And we set aside a time called revival for that to happen. Now, understand this. When God's people are revived, usually you see a wonderful harvest of souls. One of the great testimonies or evidences that you have experienced revival is that a burning and a longing develops in your heart for lost people. Revived believers want to reach unbelievers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you study the great revivals of our nation, or you even go into England, or you go to Scotland, or you go to Wales and the Welshes, where all these great revivals took place, after the church was revived, there was a marvelous host of people that were won to the Lord. Fallow ground that is broken up in our lives is ground that was once tilled, but now it's gotten hardened. And we talked about what does it mean to break up fallow ground. Breaking up fallow ground is my heart being broken up. And the heart, Jesus gave that parable about the soil, and the soil that received the seed and the soil that wouldn't receive the seed. The soil that was choked or the soil that was stony. And he's talking about the heart of man. And the Bible talks about how that with the heart man believeth, and with the heart man exercises faith. And so as a believer, I want my heart to continually be pliable and softened to the things of God and to the word of God, so that I'm growing and being nurtured and being watered and moving forward there. And really, truthfully, we feel with our heart. It's out of our heart that we believe. It's out of our heart where action comes from. For example, if you believed in your heart that this building was on fire, what would you do? Yeah. So action always follows belief. However, my heart responds to what my mind has been thinking about. And we talked about how this comes with emotions and feelings. Emotions and feelings are tied to what I've been thinking about or what my mind has stayed on. I can't not have my mind stayed on something and just think I'm going to feel. That doesn't work. They come from a concentrated mind. So when I'm preparing or breaking up my fallow ground, I'm preparing my mind on the things of the Lord. And it only makes sense that as my mind is concentrated and focused on something, then the emotion and the feelings come. So if I'm not thinking about revival at all and I show up for revival, you're not ready. It's interesting how we don't associate the laws of the mind when it comes to spiritual things. So if I'm going to break up my fallow ground and I'm going to have my heart pliable, then my mind has got to be part of that process. Now, understand this. This is not something you do quickly. This is not something you do off the cuff. This is something that demands your attention. This is why I'm preaching about it. This is why I'm preaching about it a couple of weeks away. This is not something you can do in a hurry. This is not something that you can just do flippantly. This is going to take time. You're going to need to examine yourself. You're going to have to understand where you are, thinking about that, thinking about the Lord. Am I walking with God? Am I serving God? Am I doing all of these things? Now, it's interesting why, in order to break up your fallow ground, I want to say this, but God, you got to give me clarity. Pastor, I always thought that I should just focus on the Lord, but you're telling me that I need to kind of put my mind on where I am. Come to chapter 10, look at verse number 12 a second. And I think you'll get a biblical principle here of where we are. Verse number 12, he said, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness." This was their responsibility. "Reap in mercy." You can't do anything about reaping, but you can do something about sowing. "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Now watch what Hosea tells the nation. "Ye have plowed" what? "You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in," say those two words, "thy ways." So under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and under the movement of God, Hosea takes the nation's mind, and he doesn't so much set it on who God is or what God has done only and supremely, but he also gets them to think about themselves. What they have done. "You have transgressed wickedly." It would render the question, and Malachi addresses it. Where have we transgressed wickedly? And so that would be confronted to them. And so in this process of breaking up fallow ground and preparing their heart so that they could sow in righteousness and that they could reap of that, there was this examination of their lives. And really and truthfully, so important is this because it's one thing to say something, it's another thing to do it. And it's a one thing to have a feeling that's based off of truth or not truth. For example, nobody wants to feel unspiritual. Everybody wants to feel like they are right with the Lord. Nobody wants to really feel like they're distant. Nobody really needs to feel like they've transgressed somewhere. And we're so quick just to kind of think about the present and try to think, well, I feel spiritual without analyzing our lives. And so what breaking up my fallow ground is, okay, I reckon who you are, Lord. I reckon your grace. I reckon your salvation. I know you to be the great and true and living God, and no one satisfies like you. And Lord, now I'm looking at my life and I'm taking an honest assessment of where I am. Now, at one time, when I was born again, and from then, my heart may have been pliable and softened to the things of the Lord in every area. But over time, I have the opportunity for certain areas to kind of get matted down or to get hardened. And if I'm going to know revival in that, in my whole being, in my whole mind, in my whole person, I've got to address honestly where I am. If I want true revival, then I've got to truly examine my life. Okay. Well, Pastor, what if I don't like what I see? Understand. Praise God for his wonderful forgiveness. Amen. So what I want to do tonight is I want to give you about 15 things. Holy cow, Pastor, we're going to be here all night. No. You need to get revived, by the way, if that's your mindset. Just kidding. But I want you to write these down, and I want you to take these into your prayer closet. I want you to take these into your devotional life, and I want you to get an honest assessment and examine that. Set your mind to it, and then allow the heart to be taken from there. I think some of these things you may find wonderful success and blessing. Some of these things you may think, oh, you know what? I need some help here. I need some work here. These are some things I need to work on. Let me just say this. Every Christian has something to work on in their walk with the Lord. Everybody does. All right, so I gave you some of them just this morning, but are you ready to write? All right. I think the first thing you need to kind of examine yourself about is gratitude. Write gratitude down. Thankful spirit. When you read about the description of the last age, the Bible says that it's an age of unthankfulness. When you go to Romans chapter 1 and you read verses 20 and 21, when he's describing the lost Gentile world, he at the core of that is that they were unthankful. When I'm talking about gratitude and thanksgiving, I'm talking about you being grateful and appreciative of the mercy of God, the grace of God, that you're humbled by the goodness of God. When's the last time you reckon thanksgiving to God, a spirit of gratitude in all things? Right beside that, what am I complaining about? Number two. My love to God. My love to God. Pastor, how do I reason this? I'll tell you exactly how you reason this. If I had to pick the Schefflers, and I know this is a perfect example. Mrs. Scheffler, do you believe that Keith loves you with all his heart, mind, and soul? Yes, you do. Okay. And if I had to ask you to give me three or four ways, which I won't do, how he has proven that love to you, could you do that? Right. So here's what I want you to think about. Think about how you prove your love to your spouse. And then I want you to think about, how am I proving my love to the Lord? Well, Pastor, how do you prove something to the Lord that he knows everything? Right. You're proving yourself to the Lord. So I know how I show my love to my wife. Sometimes I pick on her pretty good from the pulpit, and people think, are you guys okay? We're wonderful. We have a great time together. But I show her how I love her. When I think about how am I going to show my love for the Lord to him in evidence, I'm able to see what I do for her as compared to here. Find you an example of what you love in your life and see if you're giving that much energy to the Lord. Am I honestly in love with you? Do I show you by what I'm doing? Am I reckoning that my love to you? Number three, your Bible reading. Bible reading is something Bible people do. The absence of Bible reading is dangerous. The absence of Bible reading makes you vulnerable. You cannot say that you're in a strong position with the Lord and neglect your Bible. I struggle here because I'm in the Bible all the time. But I'm in the Bible all the time because I'm preaching messages all the time. But sometimes I just got to get in the Bible for Tom. And it's a place there. So where are you in an honest biblical approach to your life? I think you ought to look at that and analyze your life. Where are you with faith? Number four. When's the last time I took a step of faith? Am I living by faith? Am I pleasing to God because of a life of faith? These are things you ought to think about. Set your mind to them. What about prayer? Do I pray? How do I pray? Can I honestly say that I'm a person of prayer? Analyze your prayer life. What about a burden for lost souls? Where do I stand for that, Lord? Where do I stand? I'm thinking about God's people being revived. I'm thinking about things that we deal with, setting our mind, getting an honest assessment of where we are. God, do I really care if somebody goes to heaven or to hell? When's the last time I was actively involved in soul winning? By the way, the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. I said this earlier, one of the great evidences of revival is a burden develops for the souls of people. Pastor, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I'm really not burdened. I don't know the last time I wept for a soul. I'm not sure. I'll bet you could probably go back and find a time when you first got saved, you want to tell everybody you knew or you went, and things have happened, circumstances have happened. Maybe you feel like you've been shot down or shut down and it's just not going. But where do you stand? Analyzing my life, letting my mind set on that. Keep going. On a social level, what kind of family person are you? What kind of spiritual example am I in my life? Am I an example that people will follow? Does my wife believe me to be a spiritual man? Does my husband believe me to be a spiritual wife? Do my children believe me to be spiritual parents? Where am I in that, in an exampling the righteousness of God? These are questions that I ought to set my mind to. What about self-denial? Write that word down, self-denial. We talked about not defiling ourselves last week. Self-denial. By the way, self-denial is a condition of discipleship. And I'm not talking about beating yourself here in some kind of weird way. I'm just talking about, am I willing to give up things for the Lord? Where am I sacrificing for the Lord? If I had to honestly assess my life, where am I sacrificing for the Lord? Whether that be time, whether that be talent, whether that be treasure, whether that be whatever. Am I willing to set self aside? By the way, praise the Lord, Jesus was willing to set himself as a man and go to the cross. These are places for you to begin, not too many more. Let's talk about a biblical worldview. Write down worldliness. The Bible says, if I love the world, the love of the Father is not in me. The Bible talks about worldly mindedness. Am I a spiritually minded person? I preached on Wednesday night what a Christian sounds like. Had a wonderful testimony of that, by the way. I'm going to share that with you at another time. But do I have a biblical worldview? Am I worldly minded? Is there a difference between me and the world? These are places to go. Some simpler, some one-worded ones. What about pride? God, am I in a position of pride or envy or slander? Write those three and add to that gossip. Pride, envy, slander, gossip. The Bible said that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Or am I in a position of arrogancy somewhere that I haven't submitted either to you or to some other authority? Am I in a position of envy with somebody? What about slander? Am I the type of person that's speaking behind people's back? God, what about my tongue from a gossip position? Am I the type of person that edifies or not edifies? Write this word down. Lying. Lying. Am I living a lie? Am I telling a lie? Am I in some deception right now? God, is there truth in my inward parts? David said that. What about cheating? It's tax season. Don't write that down. Am I cheating at work? Am I cheating in school? Young people, school-age young people, are you cheating? Don't tell me you love God and cheat. Old people should say amen to that. Unless you're cheating too. Well, everybody cheats. Right. You know, they taught us in Bible college that, they ever teach you that silence is deafening? Man, when you're the preacher and you say something and everybody goes silent, I'm thinking, I got to preach a message on cheating. Couple more. Bad temper. Maybe you're abusing your wife, your children, your family, your neighbors. Write down tithing. I'm going to preach on that next Sunday. You can't have revival and not tithe. It's impossible. Tithing. These are things that we're setting. It's time to seek the Lord. These are places to begin. For most of us, I'm sure there's going to be most of these that we're going to say, you know what? As I examine my life, I really do find myself in an obedient and wonderful position here with the Lord. But let's just take cheating for an example. When you think about the Lord Jesus dying on that cross, you think about Him indwelling and saving you. And then you begin to think about being a cheater in your own life. That ought to begin to plow up the ground. Right? And when you think about every time you do this, God's doing this. No. I feel spiritual. I'm at revival. You see what I'm talking about? And then as my mind is set on the Lord and my mind is set on an assessment of where I am, it begins to render my heart. Listen to me. If you're a Christian and you're a cheater, how do you rectify that? By the way, if you are a Christian and you identify as a cheater, you really can't identify as both. You can be a Christian who has committed the sin of cheating, but if you're a cheater from the big time you wake up to the time you go to bed, that gives me question as to whether or not you're filled with God. Pastor, I'm not sure I like revival. But God has to deal with us. And it's very easy for us to let that ground just get hard in certain areas. And this is why churches have revival meetings, but they don't have a movement of the Lord in the hearts of God's people, because God's people didn't break up that fallow ground. God is not going to break up the ground. He told you to do it. And He told me to do it. And then, once the ground is made pliable, then the seed can be sown. And when the seed is sown, there's a reaping in our life. Let me tell you something. I used to cheat. I know you find that hard to believe. I cheated before. Everything that's on this stupid notes, I found myself guilty before. But it is just a wonderful time to fall on your face before God and to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we can have revival meetings, or we can have a movement of God within a church body and with individuals, and we can see God do great things. Set your mind on Him. Set your mind on some of the things in your life, and let that begin to churn in our hearts. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, it takes this type of moment. It does take this type of moment. I've always said about the Sunday night service that it is the service that touches the hearts of God's people more than any other service. I personally believe that it's the service that God corrects us the most on. And the people are here tonight because they want to be revived. I do too. I love them for that. I want that for our church. But the nation of Israel was told that they got to break up that ground. And we've been told we got to break up that ground. And the way that that ground is broken up is my heart is prepared. But my heart's not going to prepare it if my mind isn't working. So I got to begin to set my mind. There is a premeditation that must take place for revival. People aren't our people tonight aren't guilty of all these things, but we may be guilty of some of them. It's time. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to be right.